Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Faithfulness. Thank you to Paul, Mike, Janet, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is 2 Chronicles 20, 20 to 21.
Good morning, good day. Couple announcements as we get settled in here. Ed's choir. What's Ed's choir's name? From now on, it's Ed's Choir. November 25th, 7 p.m. at Mountain View in Grimsby. And the 2nd at Stony Creek Church of Christ. And the 10th at First Baptist Church here in Beamsville. So if you'd like to check out a choir, head to one of those. And Jack is back in the hospital as of Friday. Pray for his recovery and for Marie. And we also, our thoughts and prayers are with the Flemings, Val passing away. December 4th here, 2 p.m., celebration of life. Check your bulletin to make sure that I said it right. As we begin our worship today, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this time. Lord, we want to thank you for every moment, every breath, every day. It is a blessing, a gift from you. But more than that, you have given us your Son so that we may not just have life, but have life abundantly. Lord, as we seek this life abundantly, help us to look to you. Help us to worship you today. Help us to think of you and to journey a little towards you. May we be blessed, and may we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. The time where we as a congregation gather together and we remember who Jesus is, what Jesus did, why he did it, and what we gain from that, from him giving. And we receive our eternal salvation because he died for the sins of the entire world. Now, in view of the recent events of the last few days and the passing of a pillar in the church, when, of course, Val, I really didn't know Val until I actually placed membership here about 12, 13 years ago, and little by little, she made impact and changed my life. In small ways, but she included me, and that's what the communion's all about. And we are all included in the salvation that God has for us because of Jesus. One more, I thought about Val for the last 3 days because I knew it's not communion. About what verse could I possibly show what Val meant to each one of us and to the congregation. I thought about Hebrews 11, early verses, where it says, "And by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice to God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And though he is dead, his faith still speaks." And that little last phrase, "though he is dead, his faith still speaks." And Val is going to be speaking to us through her death for a long time. There we have Val's family, and we know that the lives that they live are godly lives. And they make impact wherever they go, and that is Val instructing them and nursing them and bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord and establishing her legacy of faith through them. And in small ways, everywhere we go, even in the community around us, you can go, I'm sure, the library, the everywhere that's got a name, you know, that's the Fleming, Val had something to do with that, and her loving husband, Art. And so that alone makes communion important, because Val felt included through the love of Christ, and she included others, and she left a legacy, and she's going to speak through all of us. We're going to laugh at some of the things she did and said, and we're going to cry at some of the things that she made an impact in our lives, John. But it's really about Jesus Christ, and that's why we're all gathered together. And it's nice to be able to have people to pass on, knowing that they are safe in the arms of God, and we're going to be there someday too. But we now have one more reason to get ourselves through the race. And we got one more person up there cheering for us. So, time to remember and be thankful for what Jesus did. Be thankful for the people that have impacted our lives and got us to Jesus. I'm sure we all can think of one person, whether it be a parent, sibling, or a friend. We're all here because of the love of Jesus Christ, and somebody took the time to share with us. And Jesus shared his blood and bore our sins on the cross for us. So at this time, let's go to God in prayer and be thankful and to remember. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus because of what he did and that you sent him and the powerful message that we have to give to the world and to instill in others, because his love is for everybody in the world. He died for everybody in the world. And for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. So, Father, we know that it's on us to pass on that good message and to do it cheerfully, to do it lovingly, knowing that such a price was paid for us. And we're, Father, help us to be eternally grateful at this time. In Christ's name, amen.
The reading this morning is from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. We're just reading verses 20 and 21. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever."
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So good to have you with us today. I just want to encourage you. We started last week and we met again today, 9:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We're meeting here in the auditorium studying seldom studied prophets. And some of those prophets are very interesting people. So we've met now for a couple of weeks. Just encourage you to come if you can, 9:30 Sunday mornings here in the auditorium. So we're preaching a series right now on the fruit of the Spirit. We've looked at love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. But today we're going to look at faithfulness. And when thinking about faithfulness, there is a scripture that comes to mind. Can you think of one? There are so many. But in Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, help me, and you will receive the crown of life. Psalm 89 in verse 1, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Have you ever stopped to consider the faithfulness of God? When we talk about faith or faithfulness, we usually talk about ourselves, how I could be more faithful. But think of the faithfulness of God, and that God pours out his faith into our faith. Meaning, the more connection we have with God, the more we get to know him. It's just like the person in your life whom you love. You get to know them and know them and know them. And sometimes without even having to say a word, you know what they're thinking. In this relationship, this faithfulness, God knows us inside and out. And he encourages us to know him in the same way. So, Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Thank you for your faith. It isn't always easy, but the person of faith is a person who fully trusts God and that God will do what he said he will do in every situation for each of us to increase our faith in him. And the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. See, I really believe that God has greater faith in us than we sometimes do for him. And that's my encouragement for each one of us. Corrie ten Boom said, in God's faithfulness lies eternal security. Faithfulness lets people know you are safe and that what you say is really what you believe. Faith is very much an action on our part. I guess I'm getting older, and so sometimes I remember my now grown adult children as babies. Our last baby is now in her 30s. But I remember vividly, for some reason it just struck me over this past week and thinking about it, and I can remember it just so vividly, almost 40 years ago. We were living in Sunridge. It was a hot summer night. And Carly, our baby, was quite young. And I said to Barb, I said, honey, you just sleep. If baby wakes up, I'll feed her. And it was one of those beautiful nights where I forget if it was 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know. But I remember sitting outside with Carly, just as a baby, and she was hungry. She wanted to be fed, looking up at the stars. And if you've been to Sunridge, you know the stars are incredible. And here was this baby who was hungry, and I warmed up the bottle and, like we've all done, just fed the baby. And I remember this so vividly that after, I don't know, just a little while, she stopped feeding and she pulled the bottle out of her mouth and she looked at me and she smiled. See, she knew that her mommy and daddy had faith in her. She knew that she was safe with mommy and daddy. That's how God wants us to feel about him. He knows us. And it's not just reaching up to him. He intimately knows us. And he encourages us, our faithfulness for him. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. In James chapter 2, 14 to 26, it says this, "What good is it, my brothers, if a person claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save that person? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do.' You believe there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe that," which is a powerful scripture. "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" Which is a story that I still can't quite comprehend what that would be like. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called," this is so cool, "God's friend." Who's your best friend? God is a friend. He's a Lord. He's a Savior. He's a Creator. He's the one who created and gave us love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness. God has faith in us. And there's so many interesting stories. You see, that person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without good works is dead. I don't know John Drescher, but John said this, "Faithfulness is love's loyalty. Faithfulness is love's loyalty. It is the quality of reliability, trustworthiness, which makes a person one on whom he can rely utterly and whose word will stand." Phillips translates the fruit as fidelity. William Barclay translates it as loyalty. Westcott wrote, "A person is said to be faithful in the discharge of his or her duties, where the trait is looked at from within and outwards, and at the same time he is trustworthy in virtue of that faithfulness. It is the love that endures all things. It remains steadfast in time in the midst of evil. The faithful person does not sidestep a situation or endeavor to escape to the easy path, flee when threats come." So many people have gone through this worldwide pandemic over the years with SNAP. Not a problem at all. Stayed healthy. Everything's good. So many have lost so many things. So many people have lost their health. So many people have perished. And young ones losing mommy and daddy and not knowing what to do or where to go. It's not been easy. Faithfulness is not always easy. Why do bad things happen to good people? But there are many good things as well. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of war, in the midst of all kinds of upheavals, there are always people who are standing up, doing the work of the Lord, doing the work of God, encouraging one another, feeding one another, educating one another, taking over children who've been lost and helping them to survive. It's a remarkable story that even in difficult times, faithfulness proves its worth. It's who God is. Love, joy, peace. He's faithful. Moffat translates faithfulness as fidelity, describing it in careful regard and living with ultimate honesty. We can put our faith in that person as they have constantly demonstrated truth and trustworthiness, which is a staying power in spite of difficulties, even when joy disappears. George MacDonald wrote many years ago in somewhat archaic language, bear with me, because I wanted to quote it exactly the way he did in the old King James language. Here's what he said. If ye have faith and doubt not, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. Good people had been tempted to tempt the Lord their God upon the strength of this saying. Happily for such, the assurance to which they would give the name of faith generally fails them from time to time. Faith is that which, knowing the Lord's will, goes and does it, or not knowing it, stands and waits. But to put God to the question in any other way than by saying, what wilt thou have me do, is an attempt to compel God to declare himself or to hurry up with his work. In reality, what does God want me to do? I can find no strong words enough to describe the import and the life of faithfulness. Lord, what would thou have me to do today and every day? The Apostle Paul continually encouraged faithfulness when he says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the old law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified. Oh, this is so good. Justified freely by his grace. It's like being the jail doors being opened and said, you're free forevermore. You're free. You're free. Faith. If we could just have a smidgen of the amount of faith for God and people as God has for you and I, it would be a different life. And that's the encouragement for all of us. Now, how many years we've been Christians? Is to not just say, I have faith, sure, but does our faith grow? And if we haven't thought about faith very much, maybe a good thing to do even today is to spend some time talking to God. We know God, we believe in God, and sometimes we pray at dinner time, or sometimes we pray before you go to bed, but just a dedicated time. And sometimes you don't have to say a word. I know it might sound strange, and maybe some of you do this, but there are times when I like to sit down on a couch, close my eyes, and just say to myself, hi, God, you're sitting right beside me. Let's talk. And I talk. I never heard his voice, but I feel his presence. How about you? God knows everything about us. Let's try to know more about him, his faithfulness to each one of us. And sometimes we can be angry with God. Why wouldn't you do something about that? Why would this? What about that? And I think that the first time we get to see God face to face, he's going to say, I know. Let me share with you why. Let me tell you. This faithfulness of God is so incredible that he pours it out to us. So Romans says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testified. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. And we know what that's like. There are times when our children in the teenage years, sometimes they really blow it. Just like we in our teenage years have really blown it. And you know, for many times our parents are disappointed. But at the same time, that hasn't stopped one iota of their love for us and their faithfulness to us. We've often learned faithfulness from our parents because of how often they've loved us, hugged us, kissed us, let us know. And even if they haven't done that, and even if they really aren't good at saying, I love you, we know how much they've loved us, which is an encouragement for us to do the same to our children and to continue to grow. Because I still have that, memory of that little baby on my lap. I can still remember her taking that bottle out and looking right into our eyes and just the smile. Why would I remember that? Because it's a unique moment that all of us have every day in certain situations. May not be that, but something else, where we can see the faithfulness of God. Okay, I'll finish up. An old poem written in the 1800s goes this way. Is your place a small place? If it is, tend it with care. He set you there. Is your place a large place? Guard it with care. He set you there. Whatever your place, it is not yours alone, but his who set you there. God's faithfulness to each one of us is profound. The words that need to be repeated, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. I chose you even before I created the world. Isn't that amazing? I knew the exact time and places in which you would live. God's faith in us. May we return the favor. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth toward the conclusion of the letter, Paul reminds them, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Be people of courage, be strong, do everything in love. And then from Hebrews, a book encouraging faith all the way through Hebrews. Just notice how often that word faith is used. It's being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. And therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Do you remember the old hymn that we used to sing, Faith is the Victory? Remember the words? Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph. By faith, they like a whirlwind's breath swept on every field. The faith by which we conquered death is still our shining shield. To him that overcomes, therefore, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels, he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. And remember the last part? Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Andrew Gillies, and I pictured this story, and I'll share it with you. Last night, my little boy confessed to me some childish wrong. And kneeling at my knee, he prayed with tears, "Dear God, make me a man like Daddy, wise and strong. I know you can." Then, while he slept, I knelt beside his bed, confessed my sins, and prayed with low bowed head, "Oh God, make me a child like my little child here, pure, guileless, trusting thee with faith sincere." As difficult as it may seem on occasion, may we be as faithful to God as God is faithful to us. Amen.
Thank you, Adam, Don, and Mike. As I thought about how to close today, I think Psalm 100 is an appropriate psalm to close with today. This will be our prayer, our declaration as we go out through the week. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Be blessed.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.